We often see the headlines, right, about drug use. Maybe hear a quick soundbite.
Yeah, but it hardly ever tells the full story, does it?
Not even close. So today, we're really going deep, trying to get past the simple labels, you know?
Absolutely. To understand the sheer complexity of drug use and also, importantly, the paths people take towards recovery.
We've looked at quite a bit of material, personal accounts, expert analysis.
That's right. And the goal here isn't just like listing facts. It's about really grasping the forces involved, the causes, the effects, which are often huge, and finding those real solutions.
Okay, let's jump in then, because one of the first things that struck me from the sources was how strongly they challenged that old idea.
The idea that it's just a choice, a bad decision.
Exactly. It paints a much, much bigger picture. Things like genetic predispositions making someone more vulnerable.
Right. And then you layer on things like mental health struggles that maybe haven't been
Or
addressed.
trauma. The long-term impact of trauma seems huge.
Definitely. And then there are the socioeconomic factors, even just the environment someone's in day to day. It's like a whole web of
It's
influences.
rarely just one thing, is it? That's what comes across so clearly.
No, it's the interaction, I think. That's key. Someone might have, say, that genetic vulnerability, but maybe it doesn't really surface until a major traumatic event happens.
And then if they don't have support systems or they're facing real economic hardship.
Exactly. That vulnerability gets amplified. It's often that combination, that sort of perfect storm that leads down that path.
And to make this less abstract, we have these, well, really powerful stories, glimpses into real lives.
Like Sarah.
Yeah, Sarah. Her opioid use apparently started after a sports injury, something that could happen to anyone, really.
It makes it relatable, unfortunately.
Then there's Mark, turned to methamphetamine, feeling crushed by career pressure.
Another common trigger, that kind of intense stress.
And Lisa, her story shows that progression, from what people might dismiss as party drugs to a serious cocaine addiction.
These stories really hammer home how different the entry points can be. They're not just case studies. They're people trying to navigate really difficult stuff.
Often with underlying issues that weren't getting, well, any attention.
Precisely.
And the fallout, it's not just contained to that one person, is it?
Oh, not at all. The sources really emphasize the ripple effect.
On families especially, you read about the breakdown of trust, just the emotional pain. It's heartbreaking.
And then zooming out, you see the impact on the community, increased crime sometimes, a real strain on healthcare.
Now, hospitals, emergency services.
Social cohesion can even weaken. It touches everyone in one way or another.
And there's a specific mention, isn't there, about children?
Yes, a really crucial point. Children in these situations can face neglect, trauma, and that, tragically, can start a whole new cycle, generational cycles.
Wow. Okay, so we've laid out the complexity, the wide-ranging impact. But let's shift gears a bit, because the material doesn't just leave us there. There's a strong element of hope, too.
There is, and it starts with understanding. Just knowing about these drivers we've discussed, that itself is framed as a vital first step towards prevention.
So how do we use that understanding? What comes next?
Well, education is massive, giving people, especially young people, the actual facts so they can make informed choices.
Not just scare tactics, but real information.
Exactly. And early intervention programs are key too, identifying people who might be at higher risk and offering support before things spiral.
And it seems like tackling those root causes, we talked about the mental health stuff, the trauma is fundamental.
It really is. It's like if you can address that underlying pain, that reason someone might be self-medicating.
You remove a major driver for the drug use itself.
You got it. Often the drug use is sort of a symptom of that deeper issue. So effective treatment has to go there, deal with the core problems.
Now, thinking about recovery itself, the sources are quite clear that it's usually not a simple, straight path forward.
No, definitely not. There are often setbacks. Progress, then maybe a step back, then more progress. It's often non-linear.
And understanding that feels really important for everyone involved. Reduces stigma, maybe.
I think so. It offers a more realistic and ultimately more compassionate view of healing. Relapse isn't failure. It can be part of the process for some.
So what kind of treatments are highlighted as being effective?
Well, there's good evidence for certain therapies. Cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, and dialectical behavior therapy, DBT. They help people build coping skills, manage difficult emotions without turning to substances.
Right. Practical tools.
Very much so. And for certain addictions, like opioids or alcohol, medication-assisted treatment, MAT, is crucial.
That's the combination of medication and therapy.
Yeah, exactly. The meds help manage withdrawal, cravings, making it possible for the therapy and counseling to really take root. It significantly boosts positive outcomes.
And what about support groups?
Also highlighted as incredibly valuable, peer support. You know, people sharing their experiences, understanding each other in a way that maybe others can't. That connection is powerful.
It's not just about the professionals, though. The material really stresses the role of family, friends, loved ones.
Hugely important. But it also acknowledges how incredibly tough that role is. Emotionally draining, confusing.
So what's the advice for them? For the families?
A big piece is shifting perspective. Understanding addiction as a health issue, a disease, not a moral failing, that can change everything in how a family responds.
Less judgment, more support.
Ideally, yes. But also, setting healthy boundaries is vital. For the family's own well-being, too. It's not about enabling, it's about supporting recovery in a healthy way.
That sounds like a difficult balance to strike.
It is, which is why seeking professional guidance isn't just for the person using drugs, but for the family members, too.
Are there specific resources mentioned for families?
Yes. Organizations like Al-Anon for families of those with alcohol issues and Nar-Anon for families affected by drug addiction. They offer support, perspective, shared experience. Invaluable, really. Offering that non-judgmental support while holding those boundaries, that seems to be the key message.
Okay, so if we try to pull this all together, it feels like the main point is we have to move beyond just blaming the individual.
Absolutely. We have to acknowledge that whole complex web of factors, biological, psychological.
Understand the consequences are wide-reaching.
And approach both prevention and recovery with compassion, first and foremost. And use a whole range of strategies, not just one magic bullet.
Because understanding leads to compassion.
That's what the material strongly suggests. And that compassion, that's the bedrock for any meaningful change, for helping people heal.
It really makes you think, doesn't it? How these individual struggles are so deeply connected to bigger societal things. Maybe that's the thought to leave everyone with.
Mm-hmm.
How can we, you know, personally and as communities, foster more of that understanding, more compassion, to really help create paths towards healing?
It's a powerful question. And it's worth remembering, even though we haven't listed specific numbers or websites today, that help is available for anyone who needs it.
Definitely. There's always hope.
Always hope and always ways forward.